that weren't maybe made in your presence, but it does go back to 1957 in the hangar of the American Airlines over there at Logan Airport. When you speak about, on page 10, a paved service and around the perimeter of the airfield, it was at that time, because of the noise, trying to eliminate the noise that it was brought to our attention, the Port Authority had intentions of putting shrubbery, get this, shrubbery, about chest high around the whole perimeter with baffle boards when the planes were warming up to eliminate any such harsh noise that now occurs on Court Road. At that time, it wasn't an unreasonable idea, and I think if you look back into your records, in 1957, that was one promise you didn't keep. Also, other promises that you have made relative to after October the 4th, 1960, when the Electra went down with the loss of over 60 lives. Another 10 seconds, it could have entered into our town, right into Metcalf Square. That is another precaution that was going to be taken. We served 18 hours of pretty much terror, wondering the largest funeral that ever happened in Winthrop. And I want you to remind yourselves of that. Some of these people here possibly don't remember it, but it's so vivid in my mind, I hope it can never happen again. Now, it's very innocent to look over here to number 8 in your figure on your legend. It states that a pile and timber platform, referring to your map number 8, a pile and timber platform, in addition to the existing ILS pier on runway 33L. At the present time, if my recollection is right, that is over 1,200 feet long. That is one of the things that prevent good recreation in this town, and I mean it has curbed the sailing out in that way, the only summer recreation that's any worthwhile in Winthrop. Now, I can't for the life of me imagine you coming into this hall without descriptions of what this addition is. It is for a light. It's for instrument landing, which is very good in itself. But to not have a complete description of what it means, then I can't accept it. I do not want any more expansion in this town, in this Logan Airway. The whole thing that we are now confronted with is circulation. You have expanded your airport so much that it is leaving nothing but a poor circulation throughout the town. Now, years ago, we had Shirley Gut. It acted like a beautiful flush out there. But because of continuous expansion of the airport, we have nothing but dead water. And that harbor right now, you contribute to part of the pollution. So if you're going to continue polluting, you must find some way to remedy it. And I hope, Tom, over the years, that you're still there. You're a reasonable person. But your board changes like the other fellow down the street changes his shirt. So we don't know who we're talking to half the time.
Waller, may I ask you to expand a bit in regard to the promise in respect to the Electra crash? I didn't quite understand what promise had been made.
Well, there was promises at that time that the noise abatement first, and that was the around the perimeter, such as you now on this here estimate you're going to have a roadway. While it was to be for the curbing of noise, you or one of your groups stated noise travels across the airport, and you could stop it by a barrier of greens of some sort that would then be about chest high. Your research had noted that it would alleviate such noise as would be penetrating the court park section. In reference to the Electra, what I say is there was horror and 18 hours of hell in this town, and there was a promise to be that you would have full
feet out.
We brought the question up at the time, how could you fight an aircraft fire if it landed in Metcalf Square? And the purpose, how could you fight a fire?
How about the tower? If it ever hit that tower, it would be wiped out.
Besides that, Eddie, there was promises that adequate foam, that's the only way you can fight such a high volatile gas with aircraft. And the idea was that stations would be, and I recall vividly, one station of adequate foam put in a strategic area at the Deer Island section. Possibly another one up on or near the vicinity of Winthrop Yacht Club. And every yacht club at that time had a proposed idea that they were going to get ample foam, and the only way to fight it, Mr. Haslett is here. He maybe will tell you, or I'll guess, he's got about 250 gallons of foam, which is about inadequate as anything that we have to fight an aircraft fire. Now, some of the promises were made. We were told to wait. I'm still waiting, and you are too.
Thank you, Waller. In order to just make certain that we are responsive orally tonight, I am not aware of this. I don't doubt at all what Waller says. I would just like to mention in regard to the shrubbery, the problem of trying to stop the noise from being transmitted from runway 22 left across 1,000 feet of water to Court Road has been considered by experts. The last possibility that was considered was to have a hibachi sunk in the ground flush with the runway so that you'd have a heat curtain which would deflect the noise into the air. But I merely mentioned that, even though the FAA shook its head when they thought of the hazards of having a hibachi like that. I just mention it to show that there has been a good deal of consideration, but I certainly feel that there could be more shrubbery on the airport. Thank you. This will be part of the consideration, Waller. We appreciate it.
Tom?
Yes, Dick? Dick Mooney, I wanted to respond to this.
You raised the question about the platform for the localizer, and I am sorry that we don't have a plan which shows that in more detail, but as I recall, it's an area about 40 by 60 feet and is about 1,000 feet out on a 3,000-foot pier that exists right now. In other words, it will not extend out beyond the existing pier. And we would be glad to send you a little more detail on that. I'm sure Tom has your address, and we will plan on sending you a little more descriptive information about that particular item.
And if anyone else has an interest, I'm sure that we can arrange a meeting for the yacht clubs. I realize that when the planes are coming in on 33 or 27, that they can affect the sailing in that area. Jerry, are you ready?
Tom and members of the staff, right now I'm speaking on behalf of the Winthrop Planning Board. We took a vote last night relative to this meeting, and the Planning Board was opposed to this meeting being held at this time for several reasons, and I'll try to clarify them. First of all, the meeting was supposed to be informative to the public, from what I gathered from Mr. King's letter, and it was also to take some input from the community. Now, as a practical measure, I would venture to say that since the preliminary airport master plan was not distributed en masse until this evening, you might consider very few people in the community that know what you're talking about specifically. This is one reason. Secondly, when you look at the entire program here, and the entire master plan, and particularly the expansion of Runway 9, it's interestingly to note that there's been no input at this preliminary stage. No one has had an opportunity, including the residents of the community, to discuss whether or not this should be even a consideration in terms of its effect on the community. Now, probably the most important reason why the Winthrop Planning Board opposed it, and the final reason, is this. Contrary to what Mr. Mooney says, we feel that any master plan hearing that does any master plan discussion which fails to bring all matters before the local planning agencies in any community is in violation of the Airport Airways Development Act. The Planning Board made that position clear at the March 10th hearing in 1973. Now, it seems further unusual to the Planning Board when you consider that the members of the local planning agencies and in Winthrop are elected officials. They're charged with the responsibility of determining the plan for the community. They're supposed to be knowledgeable as to what type of future planning will involve the community. And yet, our planning board has never had the opportunity to sit down at close quarters with your staff and to tell you what the future plans of Winthrop are, to show you the results of the last master plan survey study done for Winthrop in 1959, that the only remaining quality in a small area like Winthrop is its residential quality, which must be preserved at all times. And we have never had an opportunity to confront you with some of the questions that a planning board or planning agency must ask you and must get its answers so that then we in turn can exercise our responsibility and go back to the residents of the community. That's our duty. Now, I have made representations to you. I've requested these meetings, and I maintain, again, contrary to what Mr. Mooney says, that it's a necessary and vital obligation that must be fulfilled by your board before you can have any type of legal or meaningful master plan presentation. Now, there's some interesting points that I suppose now speak as an individual directly, Tom, and yet there would be questions that the planning board or I, as chairman of the planning board, would ask you. Going over on page 20 to get to more specific situations. On page 20, there's a breakdown that's entitled Aircraft Operation Forecasts. The reason I'm going to this particular page is because I remember a statement Mr. Mooney said earlier this evening in discussion of runway 1533. And I believe I'm quoting almost verbatim, since we were not absolutely convinced of the need of runway 1533, or words to that effect. And I notice the years 1970 and 1971 under Commuter Airline and Itinerant General Aviation, there is a drop in total aircraft operations. Not a drop in passengers, but a drop in total aircraft operations. I do not have before me the figures for 1972, but I read this morning an article by Crocker Snow, who I believe is the director of the Massachusetts Aeronautical Commission, and he said there was a 10% drop for this year to date. When I read those figures, and when I take into consideration the position that the Port Authority has now adopted relative to runway 1533, that we may not need it, I then, as an individual and as chairman of the planning board, must necessarily and very seriously question or pose this question to you. What are you doing? Are the future needs that your survey forecasts, are they actual needs, or are you creating a need? These are questions that must be asked. And again, finally, as the planning board took a position in March 10th, and we take a position now, for want of any further discussion or lack of, we oppose expansion runway 9.
Well, I would like to, I can't take any responsibility, obviously, for what the state aeronautics director has stated. I can say that the basic requirement, the one that we would consider most significant, is that of air carrier operations. And essentially, for instance, since 1969 compared to 72, that the aircraft operations are essentially the same for air carrier. And I believe that the figure that he was speaking of, that was 317,000, and it was down to something like 303,000. But that is not the case with the air carrier operations. Now, when you take a look at this page 20, this is the consultant's projection. And if you remember, if you listen carefully, I responded to another gentleman and said that we feel that this growth rate will not be quite as great as they had projected because we think there are going to be more wide-body jets than what they think. We feel that there is a need. The forecast or estimated capacity of Logan's landing area is approximately 303,000 aircraft operations. We're running right now about at that level. Air carrier operations are about 211,000, so that the balance is made up of the commuter airlines and general aviation, so that we don't feel that it's an imagined need, and we think we're being very conservative as far as what the requirements are, and we don't think that we're just dreaming things up, because I think that when you see the proposal or the plan that's presented by Mr. Snow on behalf of the Commonwealth in a combined study by the Department of Aeronautics for the state and the Department of Public Works, that there is an indicated increase in the total amount of traffic. I don't know if there's anything else, Tom, that... I don't know. I guess there was you questioned the fact that I had said that it was not necessary. I said that it was not necessary legally. Now, whether it's a question of good practice or not, I wasn't debating that particular point. And of course, again, this is a very preliminary meeting, and this does not preclude the meeting that you suggest prior to the actual preparation of the draft master plan study.
Let's go back to the first situation. I was talking about the total increase in passengers, and then you went to total increase in aircraft operation. Now, am I to understand
No, that's just the opposite. Well, there will be, and we have consistently projected, an increase in passengers. We have projected a declining increase, but an actual increase, a declining rate of increase in aircraft operations. That's what we think.
There'll be a decrease in aircraft operations.
No, I didn't say that. I said that there will be an increase in aircraft operations, but the rate of increase will be at a declining rate. Well, now, let me say this. The purpose of this meeting is to get recommendations as to what will be done and how we'll go about this process. So you're asking for decisions tonight as to how it will be done. You've expressed the view that you would like and feel that it's appropriate to have such a meeting, and this will be considered. I cannot commit the authority to say that such a meeting will take place.
No, you can't infer
anything other than the fact that it has not been ruled out. And we are at a very preliminary stage, and we have not prepared the draft master plan study.
By the way, Mr. Mooney, are you aware of what I'm referring to each time I refer to this necessary requirement of master planning?
I would say that I am probably as familiar as anyone with the requirements, and I'm absolutely positive that there is no such requirement. I also know that there is a feeling that it is a good practice to do so.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm referring specifically, so I can directly indicate if you and I have a further discussion, to 49 U.S.C. 1716. More particularly to subparagraph A, referring to master plans requiring funds. Project, quote, is reasonably consistent with plans. The project is reasonably consistent with plans, and then parentheses, existing at the time of approval of the project, end of parentheses, of planning agencies for the development of the area in which the airport is located. What do you interpret that to be, since you say you're probably just as familiar or possibly more?
I would say that, first of all, you're referring to a specific project, and I agree with you that that relates to a project such as the proposal for a runway extension, but it does not refer to a master planning process which is not conducted under a planning grant. That is not applicable to the planning process and the preparation of an airport master plan. And as I pointed out, there is only one such planning grant and only one place at a major hub in the United States where those procedures are being followed.
Yes, Bob?
I think maybe the most important thing might come out of this tonight. Now, if you don't have a legal...
Bob, would you mind going over?
I have a law responsibility with the planning officials of this town, with the Board of Selectmen.
The people in this community have elected these people. We have an airport hazards committee. Now, just one question. When will you give us a decision as to whether or not you will meet with us? Can we at least get that from you? Will you? You are going to think about it. When can we expect to hear from you on this?
Well, Mr. Callahan could answer that, or I think I can.
I'll answer it this way, Bob. When the selectmen, I don't know whether any member of the planning board was with them at the time, was leaving the March 12 hearing. I think it was one of the selectmen. I could even name the individual. He said, we'd like to get together with you and talk over some of the planning situations. I said, fine, let me know. We'll get together. Now, this isn't in the same context, but, there's no desire to be aloof. We realize that there are situations that warrant a good deal of discussion, so that I mentioned at that particular time I'd be happy to sit with them.
Well, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones who received one of these things before I got here tonight. Now, to repeat Ralph Siriani's remark when he spoke, you know, it is really an insult to think that these people can come in here and discuss this with you intelligently when they just got this 26 pages. And so speaking
I don't agree with you, Bob, but go ahead.
But you think that someone can discuss intelligently this?
No, I don't. But I think that this is a good place to start, to give them an understanding of what is in the minds of the staff of the Port Authority, to give them the blue book, and to say that this is not the only meeting that will be held. If they want to write in. Furthermore, after all of the comments have been received, there will be a draft master plan study, and people will be able to understand in far greater detail in there just what is being proposed. Well, so you have to start somewhere.
Right.
We couldn't give everyone in the town of Winthrop at a particular moment the blue book, Bob. So we're starting somewhere.
Okay. So now, I looked at this book. First of all, you said that this meeting was being held for the convenience of the citizens. Now, you people, if I understand this correctly, simply called up the school department and asked if you could come down here tonight. You didn't ask the Board of Selectmen or the Planning Board if this was a convenient night to meet. And if I read the second paragraph correctly, this is the only meeting you intend to hold in Winthrop. Is that correct?
That is the this is the only meeting in this phase of the procedure. Right. But we have said, Bob, and I will repeat, that this is merely the very beginning, and I think that people have gained some understanding of what is in the minds of the staff of the Port Authority. So that I'm sure that we can get together on a lot of points. And the draft master plan study will be far more comprehensive and in detail, and that will be the subject of discussion.
This on page 3 is referred to as a simplified form. Do you have a more complicated form? Do you have a non-simplified form? You mentioned here that this is a simplified form. Do you have more that you could perhaps send to the Board of Selectmen or to the Planning Board?
In regard to the master plan?
Yeah, to this thing. You say here attached is a plan in a simplified form, so I assume there must be a more non-simplified form, a little bit more technical.
Well, I would say, Bob, that you know, there are rafts and rafts of diagrams and studies and everything else, and this is the simplified.
Don't you really think that a good place to start, instead of asking people to come down here tonight and hand them 26 pages of this, don't you really think the place to start is with the elected officials and the appointed officials of this town, who have asked the citizens to elect them? We're willing to sit with you people. You have a planning board. You have a Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen have appointed an airport hazards committee. So, look, as vice chairman of the airport hazards committee, as a member of the planning board, I also joined whoever that selectman was. We'd like to meet with you as soon as possible.
Bob,
have you come to our town. Now, we don't want to go to the airport. We want you to come down to the town hall at our convenience.
All right. There's no disagreement there. And as far as you know, you've always been a reasonable and effective protagonist for the community. As far as the arrangement for the meeting is concerned, we wanted to hold them in a sequence so that some of the people who go around to all of these meetings wouldn't be tied up for a month, so that they'd be able to get it all done in a week. Yes?
Could you give us a breakdown of the noise level abatements on the Neptune Road area and the benefit that the people are going to gain, Point Shirley, by the lightning? You know, break it down, the difference of the noise level back before you light them, the runway of Neptune Road, what they're getting now, what the people are getting at Point Shirley now, what they'll be getting?
Well, I don't understand all that you're asking in respect to Neptune Road. I understand what you're asking in respect to
the runway towards Neptune Road. We had a noise level. What is it now?
give me those?
I can't give them to you off the top of my head.
And how much benefit, and if the people of Port Shirley are going to benefit by this link, they better come down and sit on Neptune Road and figure out the decibels are down there and see how much benefit the lengthening of a runway has given the people.
Well, you're talking about two different things, if I may say so. You're talking about... We didn't give them any relief because the runway was extended in their direction. This runway is being extended in the opposite direction from Point Shirley.
The length of that runway still runs out far beyond what the point, if you take your fingers, you can measure the distance between where the start of the Point Shirley runway will be and where the end of the Neptune runway is at. That's any closer, at least you have.
I don't quite follow you, except through my last comment, but perhaps Dick Mooney has a better answer.
Well, to answer your first question, all of this is covered in this environmental impact statement that was prepared and distributed at the hearing on March 10th. Now, if you didn't get a copy, we would be glad to give it to you. It gives you an idea of what the individual aircraft operation noise levels will be and the computation under the noise exposure forecast. Now, if you don't accept that, then obviously, you know, that's your judgment, but that's been done. I have done that, and all I can say is you asked us what it was, and I'm just telling you that it has been computed, and it's available in detail in that report. Now, if you didn't get one...
You said 3 decibels.
3 decibels, yes. I know that that is... I frankly don't know what the point is, because we are not... As Mr. Callahan mentioned, talking about extending a runway, which is in the direction of Point Shirley. It's away from Point Shirley, and if you're familiar at all with just a moment. If you're familiar at all with the argument that it existed over the extension of Runway 15, the people in the Neptune Road area and East Boston were asking that it be extended in the opposite direction because they recognized that it would mean that aircraft would be higher. That was not done. It was extended in the 15 end, and it's just the opposite of what we're talking about here. Now, the old master plan did have an extension on the 27 end. We have eliminated it from consideration.
I'm just asking, please dominate the map.
Yes, that's right.
Taking off from that point, going towards Neptune Road.
Yes.
Is that point there, isn't it further than this point where one is, where the extension of this one is? I'm sure it is. And the people here in Neptune Road have had no relief by that distance. And the people there don't seem to be...
Well, you understand that we did not move the takeoff point, the start of the takeoff roll, further away from Neptune Road by anything that was done. But we are planning to extend the runway away from the Point Shirley area, and it will permit the aircraft to take off and be higher. Now, if we had extended the 33 end, it would. I mean, believe it or not, the facts are that an airplane will get off sooner if it starts the takeoff roll sooner. Yeah, you can. That's a given fact. Well, they do. If you go out and you take a look at it, you'll see that they do. Yes.
Mr. Dimes?
Well, Selectman Dines, member of the Winthrop Board of Selectmen. Tom, as you well know, I've, as a member of the Board of Selectmen for 5 years, I've been involved with the airport and also been a LINAC board member, along with Deputy Hasler representing Winthrop and going to all the meetings each month. And just about everything that you have here tonight, I think we have told you at these meetings we go to. Also, you will note that about every speaker that you've heard here tonight, you've heard once before at some other public hearing. Though about the majority of the citizen who is deeply affected by the noise in the airport is not here tonight, and it's pretty obvious why. It's been stated a couple of times, and I'm going to repeat it. I think the one big failure I see of this meeting is, number one, that you never found it, I suppose, reasonable to sit down with Deputy Hazlitt and myself at a Logan Airport noise abatement meeting and discuss with us the possibility of coming into the community in great detail and how to hold a hearing. The first time I found that we were going to have a public hearing held here tonight was the copy of the blue-covered book that was laying in the box in the selectman's office when I walked in one afternoon. I think it was about four days ago when I first saw it. My first reaction was, where was the meeting going to be held? Secondly, had our board been contacted? And how was the meeting going to be conducted? So I think what the Port Authority and you, Mr. Callahan, fail to realize that right in Winthrop now, there are people who have been involved with you for many a year in fighting airport expansion, trying to fight it, that know the problems. And yet you do not want to come and sit down with us originally, in the beginning, and go over with us how we can come into Winthrop and have a very orderly community type of hearing and let everybody in the impacted areas get up and speak. This is your big failure here tonight. So in drawing to a conclusion here, I would like to suggest that, first of all, that you indeed do what Mr. Driscoll said. Set up the meeting with the Board of Selectmen and the Planning Board to hash over, I think, two possibilities. One, whether before you hold another community meeting such as this, that you spend sufficient time with the Board of Selectmen, the Planning Board, in discussing what the master plan is all about. And when we have arrived at, we feel, a very intelligent position, then to send us back into the community and go into the impacted areas and talk to the people. And then when you do conduct another community hearing, you might have a packed house. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Dimes. John, are you about ready?
Tom, a couple of questions. All right, John Vitagliano from Court Road. I'm the chairman of the town's Noise, Air Pollution, and Aircraft Hazards Committee. I believe that's the official title. Two things. The point that the gentleman from East Boston was trying to make a while ago with Mr. Mooney, I believe, is the fact that even with the proposed extension of Runway 9 away from Point Shirley towards the ocean, the distance from the start of the takeoff roll to Point Shirley will be almost exactly the same as the current distance from the start of the takeoff roll for aircraft using the Neptune Road runway, that is runway 33 to Neptune Road, so that it might be anticipated that the height of aircraft over Point Shirley, even with the proposed extension of runway 9, will be approximately the same height of aircraft over Neptune Road taking off on the Neptune Road runway. And given the conditions on Neptune Road, I think that, you know, that situation gives reason for the people of Point Shirley pause to consider this proposed extension of the runway, even though it is away from Point Shirley. The other point is that I agree with you that most of the data that we should be looking at to try to get some idea as to what the effect of that extension would be is contained in the environmental impact statement. And as I recall, that data very clearly shows that the percentage of aircraft over Point Shirley in Winthrop is going to increase dramatically with this proposed extension. In point of fact, the proposed increase will be 26% for the amount of aircraft taking off and about 120%, more than doubling, for the amount of aircraft landing over Point Shirley. And again, these are figures directly from your own environmental impact statement, and we do accept them. But all of this was stated at the expansion hearing about March 10th when we went on record as opposing that particular project, and we maintained this opposition. Now, I'd like to refer, though, to a point and ask Tom Callahan this, a question about this nighttime curfew. You stated the dependence of a large number of manufacturers within the greater Boston area on Logan Airport to ship their goods out, such as electronics. But what percentage of those goods would absolutely stop being manufactured if they were forced to be shipped out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon rather than at 3 o'clock in the evening? This is a major point that really has to be addressed, and I don't believe it ever has been, in terms of a nighttime curfew. Now, our committee has engaged a private consultant in conjunction with a community group in East Boston that has had to do this study on his own. And we are coming up with some data which indicates that the vast majority of freight shipment that goes out of Logan Airport during the evening hours could indeed be easily transferred to aircraft that would take off in the daytime hours, and therefore there would be a very minimum amount of adverse economic effect with a full nighttime curfew at Logan Airport. And I would also like to ask whether or not the Port Authority has investigated the suggestion by Governor Sargent to utilize Westover Air Force Base, which has recently been suggested to be closed down by President Nixon, as a possible reliever for these nighttime curfew for these nighttime jet flights, as recently proposed by Governor Sargent. Before you can adopt a master plan for Logan Airport, you've really got to see how it fits in with other potential sites such as Westover, and not do a damn thing at Logan until you've taken that into account. Now, have you, investigated the governor's proposal for Westover Air Force Base yet?
I think I could speak on that and several of the other items that you raised. Obviously,
leave some for me.
to question whether or not we've studied Westover, I think you would agree that there really has not been enough time to adequately look at that. I will say, though, that it was and has been looked at in connection with a statewide airport system study that's being done by two departments of the Commonwealth, and I think that in all probability that might be the more appropriate place. Now, these are two departments directly under the governor's control, and it'd be interesting to see what they would recommend. They have not completed the study, and I would say that it's not foreclosed as a good study item, and certainly it warrants careful consideration. Now, going back to the first point where you explained the other gentleman's point, I understand what the point is. I didn't measure the exact distance, but I think that the main point here is that isn't the option that's available. What you have today is actually closer than Neptune Road. Now, to say that if you make it the same as Neptune Road, then it's still a bad situation. I think we would admit that it's noisy, but we're saying that it will be less noisy. We're not saying that it's going to be a nice situation when you extend it. We're saying that it will be better in our judgment. Now, in connection with the where you compare the figures that were in the environmental impact statement and say that there will be a 20% increase in operations as a result of this runway extension, I think if you didn't say that, you certainly implied that.
I did.
And what you are doing is comparing 1971 figures with what they would be with the extension, what you're in 1980.
That's right.
What you're not doing is comparing what the projected operations will be in 1980 without the extension as compared to 1980 with the extension, and you'll find that it amounts to approximately one aircraft operation per day. So I think that it's fair, if you're going to accept our projections for 1980 in one case, you should accept our projections for 1980 in the other situation. So I know that you've said this before and publicly on a number of occasions, and I've seen it in the paper, but believe that you should compare 1980 with 1980 and not 71 with 1980, because that is not a valid comparison.
No, but the problem is that the Port Authority itself has never told the people of Point Shirley in a major public forum that they can anticipate by 1980 major increases in the number of aircraft operations over Point Shirley. And it really beats me as to how they, you know, as to how you can, you know, tell those people down there or anyone else in this town that this extension is going to mean less noise for them, when in point of fact by 1980 there are going to be a great deal more aircraft flying over Point Shirley, and that the Port Authority as a governmental body is in a position to affect those figures.
Well, we have been, as part of any analysis, you compare the proposal with a do-nothing, and do-nothing means not to extend it. Now, if you compare the two, then you have to compare the figures that I mentioned. And the fact is that there is a projection that there will be more operations over Point Shirley in 1980 than in 1971. But we're saying that it will be almost identical. And the reason that we say this is the fact that I think you know or should know enough about the type of aircraft that operate at Logan to know almost all of the aircraft, with the exception of a very few aircraft, can and do take off on runway 9 today. Now, if they can and do today, then we say that they can and will in 1980 without the extension. Mm-hmm. And so that it doesn't mean that you can put more airplanes on there. 747 can take off on that runway today.
But your own environmental impact statement, though, on a number of occasions states very clearly that the proposed extension of runway 9 will allow its use by the much heavier four-engine jet aircraft than at present. And I'm quoting verbatim from your own statement of about a month and a half ago.
We're saying, yes, there are some operations, but I'm telling you that the numbers are extremely minimal. And the fact is that the projection, with or without, is almost identical.
But those figures should be made available to the public, especially to the people of Point Shirley, you know, before you allow them, before you even invite their participation in this kind of a process.
Well, actually, they were invited. They were made available. They were distributed. They were made available more than 30 days prior to the hearing on the 10th of March.
No, but they weren't. All that your environmental impact statement says is that the runway extension will allow its use by the heavier four-engine jet aircraft without being specific about the numbers.
Well, if you take a look at the report in detail, you'll see the numbers. They are in there. And the numbers of operations that will be on that runway. And yeah, it's in the technical report. Have you analyzed all of the backup data?
I've analyzed the entire report, including the analytical reports, and that's where the information comes from, that, you know, where you can anticipate the major increases in the aircraft use over Point Shirley.
No, well, I'm just saying again, and I don't know how I can explain it differently, that we're projecting almost identically the same number of operations without the extension as will occur with the extension. And I don't know what more we can say.
Have you got the basis for that projection?
What's that?
Do you have the basis for that projection?
Yes, and it's in the study. We invited people to raise questions about the study. I don't know whether you submitted questions asking for more detail on this, but again, this is something, if it's a valid question, then we're obligated or certainly should provide it as to the FAA as part of their final environmental analysis that they'll make on those proposals.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else from Winthrop? This lady here, would you care to come forward, please? Would you give us your name and address? It may be difficult to associate the proper name. Well, there has been a program in which the newer type of jet engine, which powers the 727s, 737s, and DC-9, have been cleared up so that you don't see the black exhaust smoke. Whether or not there are some conditions under which a retrofitted 727, 737, DC-9 might exhaust droplets of oil or something of that nature, I don't know. I think that we did take a sample of the grit from your window and tried to determine whether or not it was aircraft oil, and we didn't arrive at a satisfactory answer, even though we spent some money with a registered chemist, a person that was supposed to be able to come up with an answer. But I think there is a continual effort being made to make certain that there isn't any droplets coming from a jet engine. Now, I, for one, wouldn't say that this never occurs. I do say that apparently with the newer aircraft, this problem has been solved. With the retrofitting of the JT8D engines, the 727 DC-9 engines, I believe that it has been solved. And there's only the remaining engines, which I don't think are under any retrofit program at the moment, are they, Dick? But, you know, we recognize that no housewife or anyone else wants to have this soot on their property, and a great deal of effort has been made, will continue to be made, to eliminate this problem. Yes, Bob. Be glad to. And I just want to say to the selectmen that these meetings were scheduled on particular dates. The first blue booklets that went out were delivered to the selectman's office, but I apologize for not having negotiated some more satisfactory schedule. But I do say that I'm perfectly ready to meet with the selectman, just as I said at the March 12 hearing. So perhaps there's a little bit of lack of communication on both sides. Anyone else that cares to make any comment? Hearing none, I don't know that Dick has anything further to say. We don't want to prolong this. I do want to express the appreciation of the staff, and I'm sure your own appreciation, for having Bill Lydon here, because he certainly can speak on equal terms with the other members of the Board of Directors, and I'm sure that he will report to them the ideas, particularly those that were most significant. Dick, do you want to say anything further? Thank you all for coming. I trust that this is beginning of an effective program to work out at least some of the solutions and to develop a master plan which everyone will understand and realize is being considered from the point of view of the community and the point of view of the safety of the aircraft and passengers. Thank you very much.